You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Alrighty, everyone, welcome to the Barca Blaugranas podcast. My name is Josh. I'm joined once again by Matt Wiltsy, who in our last conversation, we previewed La Liga returning after the suspension due to COVID-19. And I made myself a mental note when we had him on initially that I would have him on regardless of how the season turned out to talk about things. And so, Matt, here we are.
Hey, Josh. Yeah, always a pleasure to be back on the Barca Blaugrana podcast. And I think from my perspective, obviously, I'm a little bit happier to be on this podcast, I'm sure, more than most of your Barca listeners.
Oh, yeah. I'm expecting just like a flurry of comments about how they, because I mean, we're going to talk a lot about Real Madrid today, and it's going to make a lot of people mad, but I don't care because I'm interested in it. So just like right now, how are you feeling? How what is this? I guess just starting off, what does this title mean without Cristiano Ronaldo?
This title was a statement from Real Madrid, and more so from anyone. It was a statement from Zidane. I think he proved all the doubters wrong. He proved that it wasn't just Cristiano Ronaldo carrying this team. He proved that he can adapt and change. I mean, he turned this team that lost 7-3 to Atletico Madrid in the preseason into one of the best defensive sides in Europe. And when do you ever say that about Real Madrid? So I think a lot of the credit has to go not just to the players but to Zinedine Zidane. I think all Madridistas are just we love this guy. We basically have a shrine to him now because everything he touches turns to gold. Zidane he's incredible. Words don't do him justice.
Yeah, and I think from the Barcelona perspective, right? I think that was like one of the jabs that you were able to throw whenever people talked about how great, rightfully so. And it was never like a jab that was that had any substantial backing to it, that Zidane was just winning because of Ronaldo or whatever. But it does definitely help his legacy, and I'm sure winning in this strange season where they were down and they had to, like everyone else, had the suspension due to COVID, and to be able to come back and to adequately prepare and to do all of this without really like the typical Real Madrid attack that like is like the stereotypical form of them. And I guess that leads into another question, is like kind of what's the club and the fans and your temperature, I guess, on Eden Hazard right now?
Eden, obviously, it wasn't a good season. He himself admitted it was the worst season of his career, and it's all down to injuries. I think the thing that has a lot of Real Madrid fans concerned is that Eden is no longer 26, 27. He's not, I mean, we just lost a peak year. He's turning 29, or he is 29. He'll be turning 30 next season. This isn't a guy who's got many years within him. And so we, out of like 4 or 5 good years we might still have, we just lost one. So that's the concern. I do think I'm pretty confident he'll be able to turn around next season. And I think he will, as long as he can stay healthy, prove to be a really pivotal player for us and prove to be someone where we can get a few more goals, because obviously that's where we're lacking. We rely so heavily on Benzema. I know you recall that the last time we spoke after the Clasico, that I said my only concern about the La Liga title running is that we only get goals from Benzema. I'm worried that he'll be our only resource and that won't be enough. And fortunately, the lockdown actually helped us, because Benzema was dropping off prior to the lockdown. And obviously when he came back, he was on fire. So that was an added benefit for Real Madrid. But I do think Hazard will come back next season. I do think he'll contribute, and not just with a few goals, because, I mean, that's not what his game's predicated on. I think his game's predicated on chance creation and just causing havoc in the final third. And so to get that and to get that final product, because you get a bit of that from Vinicius, but obviously the final product's still not there with the young Brazilian. But Hazard, I think, will bring that to our game, and it will be. I mean, I know Spanish outlets like Marca and Us always make the always put the headline out, Hazard and Asensio, new signings, but in reality they are going to be like new signings for us next season.
Yeah, and I think so. Like, when Hazard was at Chelsea, the first couple of years when he kind of came onto the world-class stage, I had watched a lot of Chelsea football. They were kind of the Premier League team I kept up with. And I think the thing that always struck me about him was he'd have these, you know, these flashes of brilliance, right? And he was always one of the most tackled players in the Premier League. He'd get beat up just because that was the only way to theoretically stop him. And kind of the prevailing conversation around him was like, if he is to go somewhere like La Liga, he's going to flourish because, you know, it's not as physical. And that was both, you know, the stereotype of La Liga, but it's also partially true, like that he's just not going to get tackled as much. But he always, between the injuries and the games where he just disappeared, it always felt like there was a little bit of missed potential every time. You know, you took like a 6-week segment of his time whenever he was healthy. There was never like a period where he just dominated consistently. There were always games where he was up or down, moments where you saw these flashes of brilliance where it looked so easy for him, Messi-like, and then you just wouldn't see those efforts, you know, for the rest of the match or for a couple more matches. And I think as he gets older and as the injuries kind of continue to plague him, it becomes more concerning just from like a fan of Hazard, right? It's like, are we ever going to see this unleashed Hazard in La Liga where he's healthy and he maintains a level of consistency that we haven't seen in quite some time?
Yeah, I mean, his only real positive impact this season was in November versus Eibar and then PSG. And then obviously the PSG match is when he got injured. And so that ankle's never really recovered. Even now, I mean, you saw during the lockdown, we all expected him to be back. He played a couple games, and then Zidane said he still has discomfort in that ankle. So I'm hoping that this offseason, a short offseason, it's only going to be, what, like a month after once the Champions League's all finished. Hopefully he has some time to just rest, recuperate, get that ankle feeling good ahead of the new season. And we do, to your point, get to see the best of Eden Hazard in La Liga, because we haven't seen it. And so I think fans of the game, regardless of what team you support, I think it's always nice to see such an aesthetically pleasing player like Eden Hazard play.
Yeah. And so talking about another Real Madrid player who is always continually in an interesting position, Gareth Bale. Are you ready for another summer of Gareth Bale rumors?
Oh, God. So, well, I don't know if you've seen this, but his agent, Jonathan Barnett, comes out almost every day to refute any... there's a joke amongst Madrid fans that, like, this guy, he comes out so quick to refute any rumor. And so he is adamant that Bale is going to stay, that Bale is going to collect and collect every cent of his 2-year contracts left and be a part of this Real Madrid team. From a Madrid perspective, obviously you have both sides of the spectrum, fans that are just absolutely livid and just feel like Bale is a parasite and his attitude has been just deplorable. And then you have the other side of the spectrum, which are your hardcore Bale fans who say how he's been treated by Zidane and the club, and he's a legend and we haven't treated him properly and everything he's
doing.
Wait,
just to jump in for a second. Wait, so there are people who think that Bale has had a bad attitude?
You haven't seen this?
I mean, I guess, like, so again, like on the outer peripherals, right? Like, I thought that Madrid fans wanted that the segment of Madrid fans that wanted him sold, right, just weren't impressed by his performance. I didn't know that there were people who thought that he was misbehaving.
Oh no, there's a ton of. I mean, even myself, I'm a little disappointed with how he's behaved. I'll just try and rattle off a number of different.
Yeah, because like I always perceived him as like kind of like the quiet, not warrior, but like just kind of the quiet guy, right?
That's what you think of Bale, but it over the last year he's just been so nonchalant and kind of a I don't give a shit attitude that it's kind of infuriating. So he's let me try and think of some of the bigger items that he's done over the last year. Well, so there's obviously the post-lockdown, there's a ton of images going around of him sleeping on the bench. I think that one was just like, I think he was more or less joking around with some of the guys and shouldn't be made that big of a deal. There's another one of him on the bench, like looking through tape, like a goggle, using tape as like goggles and just joking around. He consistently would leave when he was not part of the squad call-up. All the guys who aren't part of the squad call up go to the Bernabeu and watch the match. And he would consistently leave early, even in games that were like deadlocked 1-1 in Madrid. I'm blanking on which game this was, but Madrid eventually went to win with like a 90th minute winner. And he would leave early. And like everybody, all the rest of the team went down to celebrate with the dressing room, and Bale didn't go down. He just went home, left early. Obviously, the Wales golf Madrid thing ruffled a lot of feathers. I feel like I'm missing a couple other ones. Now he does golf poses in every single training picture. Whenever like the team that wins in training does like a victory pose, and he always does a golf pose. Which is tongue in cheek. Like, I don't have a problem with that. But some of the other stuff, like leaving early, and just his overall performances when he does get on the field, like he just doesn't put any effort. He doesn't look like he looks one third of the player he was. It's really strange. I've never seen such a dramatic like change in attitude and drop off. And you can tell that the relationship between him and Zidane is zero. Like, it is so cold, and that they don't. I mean, there's nothing there. So you do have fans on both ends of the spectrum. And
part of me like doesn't, and again, like you would never excuse attitude, like, you know, leaving early and all that. And part of me is also just like, man, like people have thrashed him and thrown him under the bus for years for like,
that's his
before this.
View,
yeah. For like not really that much of a reason. Like, he was kind of the quiet guy who just performed well. He didn't necessarily perform up to the money he was paid for, but that's not his fault. And so it is kind of just like a man, like, I don't know, like you don't excuse either side, but it is kind of so frustrating because like, it would have been kind of nice to see him sold like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's just so late in the process. Like, what happens?
Exactly. And I think that's where now Madrid fans are getting frustrated, is that he's obviously not going to be a protagonist under Zidane. He's the highest paid player on the squad. And so for him to be raking in that type of money when those wages could be used elsewhere to bring in other reinforcements or to prepare an eventual Mbappe type package, hopefully next season, that's where fans get frustrated, because like this guy, they feel doesn't deserve the contract he's on right now, and doesn't deserve, like, a bit part player shouldn't be the top paid player at the club. And so I don't see this getting resolved. I think Bale is going to stay for at least another season. I think he very well intends to stay both seasons. He loves living in Madrid. His family's settled, and he's got a contract that let's be honest, Josh, no one else in Europe is going to pay him that. And no one's going to pay a transfer fee, especially in this COVID market, for a 31, soon to be 32-year-old who's injury prone and hasn't performed well in over 18 months. So that's kind of the reality of the situation. And it's just leaving Real Madrid and Bale are both stuck in an awkward position.
Yeah, and it honestly seems like the way it's going to play out is it's just going to kind of continue with this stalemate until he performs incredibly well at Euros with Wales, and then maybe they can sell him for a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, but so where does Zinedine Zidane rank in terms of, like, I guess the Real Madrid pantheon of managers at this point? Because, like, I think a lot of people would have said, like, you know, in his first couple years when they were winning everything, that it was like, okay, this is, like, great and all, and this is very impressive, but, like, let's see it longer, let's see more consistency. This is just, like, a domestic title, right? Like, nothing crazy. He's going to win more of these. He's already won them. But, like, how do you perceive him in light of Real Madrid history at this point?
So he's already, I mean, if you look at Real Madrid managers throughout history, there's only been one manager who has lasted longer than Zidane at this point, and that's Miguel Muñoz. And he is the most legendary Real Madrid manager. He was manager for 14 years, was part of that European Cup dynasty from the 60s. And so he's kind of the ultimate manager. Not even Zidane would be able likely to top Miguel Muñoz just because he was there for so long. But Zidane, I think, is already within probably the top three, Josh. I think it's not crazy or outlandish to say that. I think he will eventually be number two once it's all said and done. And it's just the amount of trophies he's won in such a short amount of time is incredible. And if you look, there's a recent stat going around that since 2016, when Zidane started managing, no manager has won more trophies. Not even Pep Guardiola has won more trophies since he started managing, and he took a 10-month break in between all that. So it really is an incredible stat to just sit back and think about. And, like, this, I think people always try to just discredit Zidane as a manager of egos, and just he was this incredible player, so everybody just respects him. But I think he's proven he's so much more than that. And honestly, as a Madrid fan, I've been a Madrid fan since 2003. And so obviously through that time, we've gone through many, many coaches. And I've never been happier with a coach. And I know I'm really singing his praises right now, but I think the way he handles the squad, the way he rotates, his ability, he's not afraid to, I mean, he's got cojones. He's not afraid to take big decisions in big games. I do think some of his in-game management can still improve. And I do think some finding just kind of more principles of play in Real Madrid's game and developing their offensive patterns for next season to really get the best out of that attack, I think that's what can take him to the next level. But overall, I've been just the guy just has thoroughly impressed me. And I really think he has learned and adapted in this second tenure.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And listen, I'm going to get flack for this being, like, a, you know, pro Madrid podcast I honestly don't care. Like, just for a second, I just have to say, like, from the Barcelona perspective, right? Like, I can't even begin to express, and I will try to express in words, how jealous I am of Zinedine Zidane. Like, not in terms of like, oh, I wish Zidane would come manage Barcelona, right? But just in terms of how perfect he fits Real Madrid. Obviously the history there, but just like his presence, the way he acts, the way he manages. And like you said, like the in-game stuff, like that'll come with time and tenure. But everything about him is just, he's the perfect stereotypical, like you could build in like a lab Real Madrid manager. And, you know, Barcelona had that with Pep Guardiola, and I struggle to, you know, I wonder if they'll ever, while Lionel Messi is still at the club, be able to create another kind of, you know, perfect Barcelona-esque manager with his, you know, with where Messi is at his career, not in terms of talent, but in terms of kind of like the LeBron James quality, right? Like just like the mere presence they have at where they're at. It's difficult for other people to grow into specific roles, both on the pitch and, you know, as a manager. And so I look forward to the day when, you know, Xavi returns and is immediately fired in, you know, 18 months because, you know, Messi isn't happy with how things are going. But I kid, of course, I hope that doesn't happen. But
yeah, well, let me turn the tables on you and ask you this. So I guess give me your feelings on Quique Setién, and do you think he will stay? I mean, I've seen rumors of Laurent Blanc, which to me seem underwhelming. What's your opinion on that?
Oh my gosh, man. So I guess I recorded a podcast last week, and then like over like the weekend and everything, like all of a sudden it became like, what does Quique need to do to save his job? And I was just like, wait a second, what? Like I thought they hired him to like a multi-year deal, and this was like a not necessarily a short-term thing, but it was like, you know, a year and a half. You know, Xavi will be ready in a couple years, and then we'll bring him on board. Like I'm frankly stunned that they would. If this were to happen, if they were to fire him and bring in Laurent Blanc or really anyone else except for Xavi at this point, and I think it would be a mistake to bring on Xavi this summer with where Barcelona are at. But I really don't know. I'd like to say like, no, these rumors are rubbish. Like he's not going to get fired. But with how Barcelona are currently run and how the fan base works and the machine that is, like, somehow the players are already dissatisfied with him. And I don't get it. Like he was put in an impossible situation and has done like an okay job. Not an overwhelmingly good or bad job, just like a very neutral job. And I just think it's crazy that they think firing him and bringing in literally anyone else will fix the problems that are currently existing, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. It's so hard for any manager to instill their ideas and their systems and get the players into their habits within 6 months. Like that's just incredibly difficult. I'm always of the opinion you have to give a manager a full season. And so
especially these 6 months, right? Like the last
exactly,
6 months that we've
exactly,
had.
yeah, exactly. So, and if anybody needs, and if any type of coach needs that, I feel like it's Quique Setién, because he's very clear with his ideas and how he wants to play. And he's got this instilled belief in how he should play and kind of the Barcelona way, the Cruyff way. And so, but for you to pass that on and for those training methods and those habits to be instilled and for the team to buy in, it takes time. And I don't know, I kind of get the feeling that some of the senior members, Messi, Suarez, et cetera, haven't bought in fully, which is strange because, I mean, I know so many Barca fans wanted it to be, oh, the next disciple of Johan Cruyff.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I feel like that style and that preferred methodology would work if given time. And I just, I don't know if, like, Messi, you know, he really... And the whole Messi thing is so complicated too, right? Because I actually am of the opinion that the whole like Messi leaving next year isn't like a ruse. Like I think he's actually thinking about it. I think he'd be a fool not to think about it, right? Yeah. I think he looks at someone like Ronaldo who hasn't necessarily, you know, he hasn't won the Champions League with Juventus, right? But like you don't need to stay at the club you've been at forever to continue to be successful. And perhaps Messi's thinking about some sort of reinvention elsewhere. And maybe that's why he's being so, I think, inwardly brash, if that's possible. But like he's being, you know, I think Inter Barcelona, he's like being more brash than he's ever been. And I wonder if that's because he's just trying to, you know, try all these different things to make something work so that he can convince himself to stay next year because he like thinks he needs to go. I don't know. There's a lot of moving pieces. And unfortunately, there's not a ton of time to figure that out before Messi makes some sort of decision. And like, I think he's going to stay because he's very different than Ronaldo in a lot of ways. But I think he is as big a part of this problem as other pieces are at the club. And it's going to make some people mad to hear that, but I think his personality at this point, his opinions on things are becoming kind of overwhelmingly distracting. And I think it's difficult for the club to have a unified voice. And I don't necessarily blame him for being frustrated with how things are going. But I also don't know if there's a solution in place that, that like will work. Because they just keep, you can't just keep swapping out managers every, you know, and they're not swapping them out every 6 months. Like that would be, even if they do it with Setien, like obviously Valverde was there for longer, but like, you get what I'm saying. Like it feels like as soon as you arrive, you don't have a chance. And frankly, like that's how things felt at Real Madrid for a little bit. Right. And you eventually have to get over that. And Real Madrid struck gold, right? You don't always bring on a manager and he immediately just like collects silverware. Like he's like, you know, just going shopping at the grocery store. But, they're going to have to figure out some way out of this because just firing Setien in a month or even if Barcelona, let me ask you this. If somehow Real Madrid advance and Barcelona advance and then Barcelona make it past Bayern, would you be threatened at all of this Barcelona team if you saw them in the semifinals?
I mean, at the end of the day, this Barca team still has so many quality players. Like I don't care what you say about just like their form or the way they're playing right now or whatever it may be, their issues at the back. But at the end of the day, there's still so many quality players. And when you put it into a knockout, especially now it's not two ties, it's just a one-legged tie, anything could happen. And when you have Lionel Messi in your team, that's the other thing. I mean, for Real Madrid, I think whenever you're going against a guy like Lionel Messi, I mean, in the league alone, he had 20 assists and over 20 goals. That's ridiculous. I mean, we don't have anyone like that in our squad capable of that. And so whenever you're going up against that, it's always a chance. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I always try, like, it would be incredible to witness, but I'm curious to see if this would be your perspective. It would be incredible to witness, but the day it actually happens, I think all fans would just be a nervous wreck and have heart palpitations all day as a Clasico Champions League final.
Yeah, I don't know. Part of me like really looks forward to that, and part of me just doesn't want to see that happen. The last thing I want to ask you about, and this is totally out of left field and frankly just my personal interest. So one of the players that I used to love watching at Real Madrid was Dani Ceballos, and he's currently on loan for Arsenal, at Arsenal. He's been playing pretty well. How do you feel about his, do you think he's going to be sold? Do you think he's going to return? Because frankly, I kind of miss watching him. And that's kind of it. That's what I wanted to end on, a random Danny.
He, unfortunately, I do think he will be sold. And he's actually played, I'm sure you've seen that this final part of the season under Arteta, he's played really well. He's finally coming into his own. He's made this, he's actually playing a little bit more in a deeper role, a deeper defensive role in the midfield, but it's worked for him. He's almost Kroos-like in that he builds everything out from the back. And Arteta just has the utmost faith in him. And so I have a feeling that Real Madrid will just cut their losses and say, hey, he's not a part of Zidane's plans. We're looking to bring in some cash after COVID-19. So let's sell Dani to Arsenal. It's a good fit and move on. I don't see him having a Real Madrid future. I hope I'm wrong, honestly, because I have a soft spot for him and I really like him. But as of today, I don't know. I get the feeling that Real Madrid are likely going to sell him.
Yeah, that sucks. What about, so another Real Madrid midfielder that I used to love watching is Mateo Kovacic. How heartbroken was, because I know the managing Madrid staff used to drool over him from what I remember reading. So how have you guys recovered from him being gone? Are you hoping he returns?
Yeah, I think Fede Valverde has helped deal with that loss.
Yeah, he's a nice distraction.
Yeah, he's not. They're actually somewhat similar players in the fact that they had the ability to move up the field quickly while carrying the ball. But yeah, Kovacic, he's just so, when he gets in his groove and he beats one, two, three players just on the dribble and just, he was fun to watch. And I think he has found a good place at Chelsea, but I think initially, like when that loan first happened, and I think everyone kind of knew in the pit of their stomach that he probably wouldn't stay around, and everything he was saying on social media, he like said a farewell and everyone was like, hey, Kovacic, it's just a loan. Turned out, I mean, he did ultimately get sold. And so I think we've had a couple of years to digest it. So it's not as bad now. But yeah, we still, even now when I watch him, I'm just like, oh, it would have been perfect right now, because we obviously, Modric is starting to come to the end here. Our midfield's getting a little bit older, and we need that depth in midfield. We really don't have that many pieces. So he would have gotten plenty of playing time, but he just didn't want to wait around.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's enough drooling over Real Madrid. If I still have a podcast coming up, you know, maybe we'll talk to you again if the Champions League works out a little bit differently than it seems like it's going to work out. But thank you for joining us. Congrats on winning La Liga. Congrats on Zidane and everything that's happening with Real Madrid. So enjoy writing about it. Enjoy podcasting about it. Check out the Managing Madrid podcast, everybody. If you can't get enough of Real Madrid talk, some of you are going to joke that this has turned into the Managing Madrid podcast for this episode. But either way, Matt, thank you for joining.
Hey, Josh. Thank you. Take care.